The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to turn our attention back to last week when the now Minister for Children, Norma Foley, announced that the wait for monthly €200 childcare costs might be much longer than originally anticipated. So government, the previous government and this government, have committed to that. We want to get childcare fees down to £200 per month for a family. But Norma Foley, not abandoning the claim, or the aim rather, says yes, it's going to take longer than anticipated because other changes in the system need to be addressed first. Well, Karen Klintz is the CEO and founder of Tigers Childcare, and she's with me now. Karen, as somebody who's operating in this sector, who owns creches, childcare facilities, what was your reaction when you heard this statement from the minister?
I was happy, to be honest, with the minister's reaction. That's not to downplay how disappointing it will be for parents, but I've been shouting for 4 years that the biggest thing in this sector that needs to be looked at is employment in the sector, pay and retention, because that's the only way that we're going to solve the problems within the sector. The government's own report that they published 2.5 years ago told them that, but they failed to react to it. I suppose what you constantly see is this kind of vote winning of parents without looking at how it's actually going to follow through. There's no point in giving parents €200 childcare that they can't access because there's not enough childcare places. So there's three, I suppose, big problems within the sector. There's one around the retention of colleagues and having enough colleagues in the sector, and that's to do with paying conditions. Then there's one of affordability, which is obviously the parents can't afford the amount of money that they're paying for early years care, particularly those most marginalised and most in need of it. And then the third one is in and around the access. So there's not enough childcare places, particularly, again, in areas of deprivation or in the countryside where the population just isn't there for them. But all of them flow back to the fact we just don't have enough people in this sector.
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to do that is to focus on making sure paying conditions are what they should be.
Yeah, I suspect everybody wants to get to the same end point, which is that you've got a sustainable system that people can make a living working in, that there's plenty of it for parents to access, and that it's affordable. And it's just a question of how we get there. And the point of view that you're coming from is maybe that what the government pursued the affordability piece above retention and access, let's keep reducing the cost because that's a good headline figure.
Exactly. Whereas there is a roadmap to this that actually can work together. We've been kind of looking at into this with, I suppose, trying to work with a new government and new minister and kind of, I suppose, trying to say, OK, let's all solve the problem. So we have looked at this. At the moment, we spend a very measly 0.16% on GDP, when the average is 0.9% of GDP in OECD countries. We're the very bottom of the table in OECD countries in regard to what we spend. So there needs to be firstly more spending in this. But where do you put that spending? And how do you make sure it goes to the right place? Well, you put it in paying conditions. So at the moment, we use what's called a joint labour committee to look at wages within the sector. It's very slow. There's a load of people at that table. So you have the unions on one side who are looking for large percent increases for colleagues, which is something that I support. You have IBEC on the other side looking at employers like myself. They represent me saying we can't afford to pay it. Actually, the argument shouldn't be that. The argument should just be we now are in a degree-led industry where people have qualified. They spent 4 years in university to be experts in this field to make sure that our youngest children have the best start in their lives. The first 5 years are the most important. So what should we be paying them? Let's forget who's going to pay it. But what should they have? And they should have a wage that looks like a teacher's salary, that has a trajectory for them when they come out of university, that they can say, what will I earn in 5 years' time? What will I earn if I go to do my master's? What will I earn if I move from being, you know, a room leader to managing a service? And they don't have that. So we turn out enough colleagues in the sector and then they just leave because they can't afford the cost of living.
Yeah.
They'd be better.
And where do they tend to go? What do they move on to?
There's a whole load of different, some people leave the country.
Yeah.
And people go into different industries. Like they will earn more being general admin assistant or working on a shop floor in retail than they earn with their degree working
in early
years.
So they could literally
go
anywhere.
They can have anything.
Yeah.
But they've spent 4 years with the dedicated people because you don't spend 4 years as something unless you're dedicated. But we can't keep them in the industry. And then we have to look to outside resources. So for me as a company, I spend a huge amount. So 60 to 75% of my costs in my business are towards pay and then the costs of pay. So constant recruitment from abroad. Then I suppose emergency staff, so which is twice the cost of a normal staff member in a permanent position. So what we're saying to government is, like they have done in private schooling, like they've done in preschool ASD units, they should take over pay in this sector.
Yeah.
They should set it.
Okay. So as you said, you kind of put it very succinctly, how much, forget everything else and who's going to pay it, how much should they be paid? And we settle on a figure, and whether it's kind of 30, 40, whatever, 1,000, it's comparable to a teacher starting off. And you obviously can't afford to be paying all your staff. No, nobody listening to this who's a childcare provider is going to be able to afford it.
Nope.
So how do we get to that? And we can't get to that unless you massively charge the parents.
Exactly.
Which they're not going to be able to pay.
There's me, there's parents, there's the government.
Yeah.
So
and it just falls on, by the process of elimination, if you want to pay them what they should be earning in your mind, it's only the government can do that.
And no good childcare provider should be afraid of the government taking over the pay, because what it means is it will be stability to the market, and it gives everyone where they can see where they're going in regard to my colleagues deserve it.
Mm.
So I certainly wouldn't be afraid of it. We've looked at that figure and we've said if that's to be increased, so if all my graduate colleagues were to have their pay increased to a teacher's wage, the government would have to give me 1.6 to 1.7 times what they currently give me. But what does that do on the other end of things? My costs go right down to the floor. So 65 to 70% of them are gone. Mm. So we've looked at this exercise and we've said if those costs were gone, could we provide childcare to parents for 200 euros? And the answer is yes, we can. So it actually both can work in tandem with one another. But we need a joined up government, and we need a government who decides to invest more money in early years, put it where it actually should have been put many years ago, into the people.
And would you favour then, let's say the government were willing to do this, would you favour the private school comparison, exactly, that you would continue to operate it, but the staff are effectively employed by government? Or, because there's others who suggest actually you just have a fully public system, the government should actually just buy Karen out.
Yeah, it would be, if it take, I suppose, 40 years. Firstly, there's a couple of different things in regard to that. I think there's a place for both of us. I think there are areas where there needs to be public provision. There's areas where somebody like me would never set up a service. It just wouldn't work for me.
It's just not a viable business.
Absolutely.
Even with the staff
Absolutely.
Costs gone.
And,
yeah.
and in some of the areas where these services were community services, the absolute needs of those communities are that they need specialists. They need people in there. They need extra funding to be there. But there is a huge amount, like the majority of our providers are private providers. They've worked in the industry for up to 40 years. They are experts in their field at doing this and they know how to do it. And also all international models that look at this, if you look at the Nordic regions, if you look at Norway, if you look at Iceland, that have really sophisticated models, it is all private provision. It's just being paid for by the exchequer.
Yeah.
You know, so there needs to be a couple of things, big investment, a reality on the ground that providers like myself at the moment, the government tells me I shouldn't be making more than a 9% profit, not including CapEx. Who's going to be enticed into that business? Who's going to want to come and open a new childcare setting? Absolutely nobody in those conditions. We shouldn't be able to make extortionate the profits that mean the parents are at the cost of that. But something in the region, like you see in the care system, where it's between a 12 and a 15% profit is fair. And you continue to cap fees at a rate of the 200 euros that's been promised by government. But the biggest cost in my business, that one in relation, you know, to my colleagues, is gone for me. And all of those, when I have a stabilised market, all of those things about constantly recruiting, my manager now can go back into doing pedagogy, the stuff that she's meant to be doing, looking after her centre rather than spending night and day and all her weekends recruiting somebody into the business, travelling to Spain to try and get colleagues from out of our country instead of the ones that are already being turned out of universities that don't want to work here. My cost of my emergency labour force is gone, which cost me 500,000 euros last year, which should have been 250,000 euros if I had permanent colleagues there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all interlinked, but the basis of it is around the paying conditions.
Karen Clintz, who's the CEO and founder of Tiger Childcare. Karen, thanks a million for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Mark Wall with me. He's a Labour Party TD spokesperson on social protection, children, disability and equality. So, Mark, the point Karen makes there is, I think we might start the areas of agreement first, because I suspect you'd agree with her broad point, which is we need to get to a point where you've got a sustainable system, where there is access to people who need access to childcare, where it is affordable for them and where the people working in it are paid well.
Yeah, absolutely, Karen. I think the first thing, and agreeing with some of what Karen has to say, it's all about treating the staff that are actually working in the system well. And I think that's something that we have got to recognise. These staff are educators, basically. Their early education is so important. And staff need to be paid a reasonable wage. Like the latest SIP2 survey that we've seen is there's a 25% turnover in staff. That's not sustainable in this sector at the moment. So I would agree with Karen that we need to look at staff. We need to reward staff. As she said herself, a lot of staff are going through college. They're putting themselves through college. They they're educators and they need to be treated as such.
Yeah, and her point was that the only people who can pay staff what they need to be paid are the state, ultimately, by process of elimination, she says, because the parents can't afford it, you'd have astronomical fees. She says the childcare providers can't afford it themselves. Their margin, their profit margin isn't big enough to massively increase staff wages. So the only way you do it is the state doing it. Is that fair?
Well, it is to the extent that the state have get involved, and we have to see, you know, like at the moment, there's a survey out by Pubble that I want to say, like, you know, at the moment, there's 6,000 children under one waiting for 223 places. There's 12,000 children between one and two waiting for just over 600 places. In my own county of Kildare, 11 services closed last year. So in the absence of those services, in the absence of the places, then the state has to get involved, as you ask, yes, and it does have to play a greater role. In
now,
this.
She would draw a line at where how far the state gets involved. You know, absolutely, let us keep running the business, we know how to do it, we've all the expertise, but you guys, the state, pay the wages. You'd go further, would you?
Yeah, well, what the Labour Party are actually proposing is a childcare in situ scheme where we would actually take over the service providers and we would actually pay the wages. You know, if the staff and the management that are there that are doing such a good job in many locations wanted to stay on, that would be okay too. But we want to see the state getting involved. We want to see them providing the places that are not there at the moment. And as Karen herself said, there's a lot of places around this country. You know, in Sligo last year, 5 service providers closed down in the month of June alone. Only one provider has come back. It's a lack of places that we're seeing. The state has got to step in, and they've got to ensure that the staff are paid, and that's why the state has to play that bigger role.
And would you advocate taking over places that are up and running immediately, or just do you start off in those kind of areas where the services have closed and there's a gap in access?
We want to work, and that's very important as well, and I've met a lot of service providers and I will meet them over the coming weeks. We want to work with people here. This is not a setting out to take over people's businesses. This is about working with people, and we want to ensure that there's places available where there's not places at the moment. Where it's typical, as I said, in Sligo, in my own area of Kildare, where 11 places. You know, I heard this morning, just in Minute, that there's a ready-to-go place available. It's been empty for about 5 years across. Fresh built, that needs to become an early childcare centre. These are the issues that need to happen because people are travelling. You know, when I went around in November in the last election, people were telling me they were lifting their children from the bed at 6 o'clock in the morning to bring them 40, 50 miles for grandparents' parents to look after their children. That's not sustainable for anybody. So that's what we need to do. The state needs to look at first where there's a deficit of place. The minister herself has talked about a supply management unit that would look at that. We would support that, but that needs to happen quickly. As you said yourself early on in the interview, the minister has said that this won't happen overnight, but the parents listening in to see even those in their cars going to collect their children, they need to know exactly when this is going to happen.
You would ultimately though look for the state to buy out private childcare providers, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way we want to go. That's the way we look at to go. But like, there is a space there.
How much would it cost?
For providers as well. What we have costed is around 200 million a year. That's what we're talking about here. And that's the figure that we have.
The running cost. But it would cost to buy them out in the first place, though, as well. There'd be an upfront big cost,
there would
have
to be that. There would have to be a cost of that. But that's what we have. And we've looked at that in a cost of budget form as well. I know others have looked at a figure of around 300 million. So we're talking somewhere in that ballpark, 200 to 300 million. But what we are providing is certainty for parents around places. And that's what everybody wants at this stage.
Mark, listen, thanks so many for coming in to us. Mark Wallace, Labour Party TD, spokesperson on social protection, children, disability and equality. In Malta, childcare is free when both parents are working full time and the services government runs, as one listener. If one parent is working part time, there's a partial payment system in place. The system is designed to reward and support parents who are working full time, making childcare more accessible and easing the burden on working families. Given the success of this model, maybe we could look at one of the options here as well. Thank you for the text.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.